Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we have Nancy Bolio on air here. This is awesome. Nancy, thank you so much for showing up on my birthday show. It's you're making it really special, and still waiting for that wood carving that you made me a couple of years ago. Ho-wah!
Yeah, you mean a duplicate of the one that
Wendy stole from me.
Right out of. Yeah.
Yeah, the one Wendy stole from me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad she's got it. So, anyways, again, I'm Nancy Bolio, and I'm the northern organizer for Minnesota 350, and I reside on the Leech Lake Reservation, and so I'm also a concerned constituent. And I was kind of queuing in on what Gina was talking about, and you know, it's really disheartening that we're living in such troubled times, and it just ironically. When I was at the DFL state convention on Sunday, I spoke with two law enforcement officers and kind of talked about Article 6 and explained to them that treaties are nonpartisan. And, you know, those treaties bind us together as treaty people. And there is an obligation for, you know, every United States citizen to uphold those treaties and respectfully honor Article 6 of the United States Constitution, because when these law enforcement, these judges, or whoever swears to uphold the United States Constitution should include Article 6. So I think part of the solutions moving forward would probably address the Commissioner of Public Health, you know, at the MIAC level, the Minnesota Indians Affairs Council, when they have their meetings every quarter. But, you know, I think part of the law enforcement training should include what the United States entails when you're swearing to uphold it. There is no crickets on Article 6, you know. We're not okay with that. And, you know, it seems like with every administration or, you know, we'll take a, you know, look, see at the current governor of Minnesota. He wants, you know, to be reelected, but at the same time, he forgets about the important piece of free, prior, and informed consent. So, you know, thinking about, you know, the law enforcement, our governor, they all swear to uphold the United States Constitution, and it needs to include Article 6. So I'm thinking about, you know, our role at the DFL state convention this week, you're making sure that the treaty resolution remained on the action agenda. There's a lot of good work to do, but we have to make sure that we are the enforcers of the treaties. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be crickets across the board again. And if we don't, you know, ask our legislators and our representatives, you know, our local, you know, elected officials to, you know, create legislation and policy based around that treaty relationship, because those treaties intended for us to be in peace and to leave the earth in a better way. And right now they're not doing a very good job at it.
Nancy, I want to backtrack what you said, and I definitely want to talk about your experience this weekend. It sounded and looked amazing. But we talked about this, especially now that Gina brought up the anniversary of George Floyd coming up, that it takes longer to be a licensed hairdresser than it does to become a cop. And these things are just unbelievable when it comes to training. And we have a lot of mercenaries that come out of the military. They're ready and cocked and loaded, ready to go. And, you know, we miss Hutch, and he was trying to change things in a mental health capacity. Thanks, Wendy. You don't have to whisper. We're on the radio. Mental health capacity. But the whole licensing of becoming a police officer just blows my mind, Nancy.
Right. I think, you know, all you have to do is probably run fast and know how to shoot a gun and have a little hate in your heart. And, you know, I agree. You know, there are good cops that have good intentions, but it's like, we need to do something about law enforcement and in the way it continues to show up, because again, you know, they're playing the judge and the jury and they actually execute, you know, not giving people a fair chance to be heard. And, you know, like Sheriff Hutchinson had brought to the front was the mental health crisis that we're living in. And, you know, a lot of these people that are on the streets, they don't intend to create harm. It's just some of the issues that they've lived with within those mental health disparities, you know, inside their heads. You know, it's hard for them to grasp, you know, the reality of where they're at. And I know because I have a family member close to me that, you know, suffers from mental health. And I fought like a mama bear to make sure he got help. But I remember that one time I had to call law enforcement on my own son because he was a danger in the moment, you know, and I had to beg and cry and plead, when you get here, don't shoot my son.
Right.
And it was traumatizing to have to call for my son to be, you know, in a safe space for him to make sure our safety was okay. But yet beg the cops, when you get here, don't shoot him, because he's not a harmful person. He's actually got a good heart. He's just having some issues. And, you know, we've come a long way in that healing, though, Robert. So I think, mm-hmm. you know, after defending the treaties, my next fight is mental health. And, yeah, I want to make sure that everybody has a fair opportunity to seek healing. And sometimes it means that we have to step it up and say we are family. And in our culture, regardless if they're 18 or older, we're not just going to walk away. And the system has yeah. allowed that to happen. And that's why one reason why we have a mental health crisis, because if someone's 18 and wants to say, I don't want help, leave me alone, they're allowed. And, you know, part of mental health is that denial that they're ill. And so with coupled with that, we have a crisis and we can fix those things, Robert, but we're not doing a very good job at that either.
You know, I'm really excited too. And I'm sorry, Nancy, I'm all over the place, because it's great to see you and I'm excited about that. But I've mentioned, I was at a thing at the powwow grounds today, and I mentioned to a few people, like, a couple people, that we're going to be doing Rock the Vote Native Style, and they were super excited and wanted to help and wanted to be a part of it. And I think it all the things that not the issues, but the work that you do really is going to really come up and during the Rock the Vote Native Style. And what you did this weekend, I know there's traction. I've seen people wearing the treaty hat and the costume yeah. and taking pictures. It's just amazing. You have some great traction happening.
Yes. Actually, it was a weekend full of so much support and love. And I guess, you know, thinking about how we got there, we went to the CD8 convention a few weeks ago in Eveleth, Minnesota, Christian, Taylor Johnson, and myself. And Christian is a drag queen. He's two-spirit. And I asked him in a good way, would you go to the DFL state dressed in drag? And he's like, nah, it ain't going to happen. And I asked him one more time, and I said, you know, if you do that, you're going to open the doors to all the two-spirit queers, whoever you want to be. Mm-hmm. In this party, there's a place for you here.
Right.
And so we weren't just there to defend the treaties and the clean water and the MMIW resolution and all those good things that happened this weekend. We were also making sure that all of our people, regardless of how they want to show up, there is a place for them. And so we not only open the doors, you know, as Native people, we also open the doors to everybody else. So it was actually a ton of fun, I must say. We missed training on Saturday when Christian was in drag because we just couldn't get away. And, you know, did a lot of talking and support resolution number 19. And the best part was, we got 90% of the delegates to mm-hmm. Vote yes on the treaty resolution. And that is so amazing. And I want to know who those other 10% are.
Right. Me too. Hey, Nancy, I noticed too that there was only a couple other bills that were up that high that got that kind of response. So that's awesome news. And you spoke up there, and I heard you did an awesome job speaking on treaties.
Yeah, well, it was a little challenge at first. I stood in line twice, ran out of time. Rules say it's over, it's over. And then when I did on Saturday, I woke up and made sure I got the request for special consideration in on time. Well, that ended up being a lottery because there was like 32 calls for special consideration, and we only had 90 minutes to do that. And Roe versus Wade took almost the first hour of our time for special consideration. So I asked for a personal privilege to suspend the rules and have number 19 heard, because I think, you know, as Native people, there should be a place, a designated place and time, because they are in our territories, and we shouldn't have to hope that in the lottery our name or question or our anything should get drawn. So I address that as like, I don't think that's fair for, you know, us Native people to have to go through this process. And then I didn't get hurt today. Wow. So make a long story short, we had to take a vote on it, and we got over a majority vote to able to hear the special consideration on number 19. But it took two white allies to say, hey, she needs to be heard, because for a quick minute there, Robert, they were trying to deny me. It was a kind of a rough ride.
Well, let's get deep into that. Stay with us. Another section. It's Robert Pilot's birthday, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.